Grace and peace to you from God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where then did these weeds come from? He answered, an enemy has done this. The slave said to him, then do you want us to go and gather them? But he replied, no, for in gathering the weeds you would uproot the wheat along with them. Let both of them grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time, I will tell the reapers, collect the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you call us your children, that we will be gathered into your barn, not cast away to be burnt. Father, help us to discern your wisdom, to always be leaving the weeds with the wheat, but to show love and forgiveness in all cases, that others may learn to know you through our words and actions. Lord, as you speak your word to us today, help us to secure it deep within our soul so that we always hang on to what is good, right, and salutary, and that at our last breath, we will indeed meet you face to face, and you will welcome us to live with you forever. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Of all the parables Jesus tells, this one irritates me the most. My sense of justice wants the weeds eradicated, the miscreants thrown out, and the world freed of scumbags. But that's not how the story goes. The master of the harvest forbids such action. So what's going on here? We need to look at two things. First, we need to look at the weeds, then the landowner's words. The weeds that have grown up in the wheat field are Zizanium or Darnel, a plant which resembles wheat in many ways but is worthless. The difference between wheat and Darnel is nearly impossible to detect in the early stages of growth. It's a plant that grows in Palestine. As the plants mature, the roots become intertwined and are almost inseparable. Unless the weeds are removed, the flour made from the wheat will be spoiled by bitterness and mild toxicity. The solution is to harvest the plants, spread them on a flat surface, and then remove the weeds, which by this stage are a different colour to the wheat. Jesus says that the weeds can be separated from the wheat only at the proper time, following the harvest. Let both of them grow together until the harvest. This makes sense to us in the context of farming, doesn't it, Matthew? But what about the obvious allusion to good and bad in the world? And how do we cope with our expectation that God will sort everything out? From a sinful human perspective, my perspective, the weeds that we want to yank out by the roots are, you know, the people we'd like to offer some concrete counselling, the people we want punished for their wrongdoing, the people we want locked up and the key thrown away, maybe even at times the people we think don't deserve to live. We want the wheat field, goodness in the world, to flourish with wheat and not be spoiled by weeds. And when we don't see this happening, we turn our despair into a complaint about God. Why doesn't God stop people from doing bad things? Why doesn't God stop them from committing horrible crimes? Why didn't God stop that moron from throwing a brick through our vestry window? Jesus doesn't deny that there are weeds in the wheat. He doesn't suggest that the world is free from evil. The weeds are there, plain for everyone to see. Jesus knows what's up. An enemy has done this. What's meant to produce a sumptuous harvest of wheat is spoiled by clumps of weeds. The world is indeed a terribly broken place. It's understandable, therefore, that we might be perplexed to hear Jesus say, let both of them grow together until the harvest. Yet in this declaration lies a clue which brings us to our second point. The landowner, that is Jesus, words, one in particular, let. let both of them grow together until the harvest. And Barry always already knows where this is going. The original Greek word, aphete, from aphaimi, let, has a wide range of meanings. It variously means allow, permit, or leave alone. More significantly, in the context of this parable, it means to pardon or to forgive. Forgive. It's the same usage that appears in the fifth petition of the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. In the original language, let both of them grow together until the harvest carries a sense of forgiveness towards malicious enemies, harnessing Jesus' command to love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. Far from our expectations, Jesus invites us to costly discipleship. The very real evil that others do is not to be answered by pulling out the weeds, by attacking and destroying the people responsible. Doing so only escalates harm in the world. We are not children of Satan. And as God's children, we are called to live lives of forgiveness and be willing to trust in God's purposes for His world without counting the cost. In this parable, we see God, the landowner, role modeling to us kingdom patience and forgiveness. God commands us to be like this in the world, that through our witness of patience and forgiveness over and against those who'd rather be intolerant and merciless, God may be known and glorified. As Pastor Stephen told us last Sunday, sometimes we're all four of the growing conditions that the seed of the gospel is planted into. Likewise, sometimes we're wheat, sometimes we're weeds. God gives us amazing latitude to make choices, to do right, even to do wrong, to the point of inflicting grievous harm on others and on ourselves. Yet, He doesn't pull people out of their mess by condemning them, rather by forgiving them. It does seem to be a strange way to run the world, even scandalous. I want the Lord to hurl thunderbolts at our enemies, but God clearly doesn't work that way. The most convincing evidence is the story of Jesus Himself. Think about what He teaches. Thankfully, Jesus doesn't suggest that we should be paid back in kind for the evil we've done in our lives. Instead, He goes around telling strange and scandalous parables about patience and forgiveness. What were His words for His enemies when they nailed Him to a cross? Father, condemn them. Father, blow them up. Father, hurl lightning bolts. No, don't think it was that. It was something like, Father,
forgive.
Even while being nailed to a cross. Father, forgive them. Why? Well, they don't know what they're doing. They don't understand. Risen from the dead, He forgives the disciples who skipped out on Him during His hour of need and sends them out to spread His forgiveness, His patience, His mercy, His love. Once the harvest is in, the weeds will be recognized for what they are and God will sort them out on Judgment Day. There's mercy, but there's also justice. We are loved by a God who welcomes us with open arms. And sadly, there'll always be those who reject the comfort of His grace and mercy. Saints, this parable teaches us that there's something far greater than our sense of justice. There's divine forgiveness. The willingness to let weeds and wheat grow together for a season because they are somehow inseparable. Recognition that revenge resolves nothing, but only increases evil. Whether we're always capable of living in the light of that truth or not, it's clear from this parable and clearer still from the cross. that forgiveness and patience are God's way of working with a broken world. This might make us feel uncomfortable, even at odds with God. But without His forbearance, His patience, His forgiveness, His love, none of us would stand a chance. Saints, let's not be coaxed away from the wondrous conclusion of this parable. How, despite Satan's utmost attempts to undermine God's work, the harvest happens, and an abundance of wheat is gathered in, enough to make the landowner and his farm hands rejoice together. The weeds in the field are powerless to stop this bounty from growing to full maturity. The seed of God's word endures through all adversity and yields a fruitful harvest of glorious triumph. The righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Let anyone with ears listen. Evil is real, but it's not ultimate. Evil never has the last word. Greater by far are you who shine in our Father's kingdom, you who mirror the bright light of divine compassion. Such was one person who, amid the horrors of the Ravensbrook death camp, found faith and hope enough to write a prayer that points us beyond the enemy's evil actions to the breathtaking wonder of the harvest. It affirms that God's patience and forgiveness is wisdom, not foolishness. So let's now dare to pray this prayer together. Next slide, please. And there'll be two slides. Thanks, Janine. Let's pray together and really think about the words that you're praying. O Lord, remember not only the men of goodwill, but also those of ill will. But do not remember all the suffering they have inflicted. Remember the fruits we have bought, thanks to this suffering, our comradeship, our loyalty, our humility, our courage, our generosity, the greatness of heart which has grown out of all of this. And when they come to judgment, let all the fruits which we have borne be their forgiveness. Amen. Let our fruits be their forgiveness. 92,000 women and children were killed in Ravensbrook death camp. That was found written on a piece of paper next to a dead child. And they pray that God forgives. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds safe in Christ Jesus, the Lord of the harvest. Amen.